Okay, very good, everyone. Good morning. It is 9:02. I'm sorry we're a couple of minutes late. My name is Richard Burke, and I will declare this session of the Oregon Government Ethics Commission to order. The first item is comments from the chair. I have two comments I would like to make. First of which is I have informed our executive director that the nonprofit that I work for, Western Liberty Network, will be having its annual leadership and training conference on February 1st of 2020, and as has been the case during the last two such conferences, the OGEC will be doing a breakout session on ethics for political activists, and this was a real hit the last couple of years. And it helps people understand their public officials, what they can do and what they cannot do from the standpoint of ethics laws. So I'm very proud to have staff's cooperation with that. The second comment has to do with the fact that this will be my last meeting as chair. I wanted to give my thanks to my fellow commissioners and, of course, staff. Staff has been wonderful during my time as chair, has helped me look good. I know I need all the help I can get, and my fellow commissioners have been very supportive during my occasional parliamentary errors, and I hope they'll be likewise patient with me today. I also want to add that this is being asked to serve as chair has been one of the professional highlights and honors of my life, and I want to thank you all for your confidence and your support during the past year. And so with that, I will just sort of improvise and ask if anyone else has anything for the good of the order before we begin. Commissioner King.
Sure. I just wanted to say I need to leave by 12:30.
Okay. So we will act with alacrity while doing the people's business. Yes.
I just have a quick comment, so not to hold up 12:30. But the commission did get a new commissioner on Wednesday. I was confirmed. Name is Anna Sortum. She is out of Portland. Unfortunately, she will actually be put on the commission on the 25th, so she's not able to come to this meeting, so she will be at the next meeting. So we do have a full staff. Very, very nice, qualified person. Happy to have her on there. If people have questions about her, I'd be happy to answer them. Outside the meetings. So.
Okay. Anything else from folks? Okay. For the information of everyone here today, we want to value the time of people who have come to the meeting today who have business before the commission. So what we're going to do is, after we do the consent agenda, we're going to skip to number 48, Myla Springer. Michael Springer, I'm sorry, I couldn't read that. Okay, yes, Mike Springer, that's right, I think I met Mr. Springer before the meeting. And after that, we'll go into executive session, where the other items will take in order, and then when we come out of executive session, then we'll resume the regular meeting, unless there is any objection from other commissioners, and I see none. Okay, so let's take the next step by approving the minutes of the October 3rd, 2019. It does not require a motion, but I will entertain any corrections to the minutes. Okay, seeing no corrections to the minutes, I declare the minutes approved. And so now we'll go to the consent agenda. The consent agenda will be dealt with as a group unless any commissioners want to take any of the items off the consent agenda for separate consideration. Does anyone wish to take any of the items of the consent agenda off for separate consideration?
Mr. Burke, this is Dave Siskum, out of town and on the phone today, so I hope you can all hear me. I wanted to make just two quick comments on the consent agenda, and if this means the items need to be considered separately, so be it. I'm fine with leaving them on the consent calendar. The first is a question dealing with item number 3 and 9 for staff. Is this the staff's perception that Ms. McCall understand the distinction between being a lobbyist, registering as a lobbyist, and registering as a client, lobbyist client?
I'm sorry.
The reason I ask that question is that the letters she has sent in respective of items 3 and 9 are identical.
Yes, Commissioner Fiskum, I believe she does understand. I think there was some confusion being a new employee to the state of Oregon with this, but as you also know that Ms. McCall will not be with the state of Oregon any longer. However, the Public Records Advocate's Office has also been informed of this, and so they should be up to date with whoever else is going to head up that office.
Are you satisfied?
Thank you, Mr. Burson. Thank you. That's adequate for me. And this, the second comment is regarding number 8. I only want the record to indicate that I have known Mr. Schluter very well in the past, having at one point represented him. That will not prevent me from voting in my judgment.
Okay, very good. Is there anything else, Commissioner Fiskum? Is that the last
one? No, thank you very much.
Okay, I see that nobody else has items that they want to consider separately, so I'll entertain a motion to adopt the consent agenda.
So moved.
Okay, it is moved, and forgive me, I don't recall. Is this a roll call vote? No, okay. So all those in favor of adopting the consent agenda, please say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. Consent agenda is adopted. So we will go now to item 48, the matter relating to Michael Springer. And for those of you with packets, that would be page number 217. And so,
yeah. This is Michael Springer. I'm Jim Carpenter, County Counsel for Grant County, here on his behalf as well.
Okay, very good. Mr. Carpenter, Mr. Springer, thank you very much for coming today.
Thank you.
So what we'll do here is we will begin with a staff report on the issue, and then if you would like to ask questions of staff, or if any commissioner would like to ask questions of staff, you may. And then, of course, if you'd like to make a statement, you'll be welcome to do so, and then commissioners may or may not ask you questions, and then we will proceed from there. Do you have any questions?
Not this time.
Okay, very good. So staff report, please.
Over, commissioners. I wanted to clarify for the commission that Mr. Carpenter represents the county, but he had not been representing Mr. Springer in his official, in his individual capacity before the commission, as far as we know.
That's accurate.
Okay. Item 48 is an investigative report for case number 19051 ESM involving Michael Springer, who is the elected Grant County Surveyor. The commission moved this matter to investigation in May to determine whether a preponderance of evidence would indicate that Mr. Springer had failed to disclose a conflict of interest and had used his position to financially benefit his private company. In addition to being the elected county surveyor, he also owns Benchmark Land Surveying, a private company. As county surveyor, he uses Benchmark's offices, telephones, computers, equipment, vehicles, basically all of Benchmark's facilities and resources to perform the duties of his official position. ORS 209.080 provides that the county court shall determine and pay compensation for the county surveyor. In this case, however, Grant County does not pay any compensation to Michael Springer. Instead, Benchmark submits quarterly invoices to the county for reimbursement, and payment is made to Benchmark, not to Michael Springer. From April 2015 to June 2019, Benchmark invoiced Grant County over $127,000. It is not a prohibited use of office for a public official to receive official compensation or reimbursement of expenses. However, in this case, Mr. Springer has no official compensation, and the payments to Benchmark cannot be reimbursement of expenses, because as that term is defined in our rules, it requires payment to the public official. A preponderance of evidence in this case supports a finding that Michael Springer has violated ORS 244040 and 244120 by using his position to financially benefit Benchmark and by failing to disclose a conflict of interest. I would point out that I've looked at all of the invoices for these 4 years. It does does not appear that anywhere in the invoices that Benchmark was reimbursed for work that Mr. Springer had not done, or that all of the invoices were for work done in the official position. However, Mr. Springer was not being reimbursed. Benchmark was, and Benchmark does not have a contract with the county. As an example of other county practices, Mr. Springer provided a contract or part of a contract between Jefferson County and its surveyor. This contract could serve as a model for Grant County in that Jefferson County appears to have set up a statutorily compliant compensation system. The contract is with the surveyor, not his company, and it sets forth what the compensation rates will be. There is a second violation of 244040 involving Benchmark survey refusals. The complaint had pointed out that, okay, county surveyors, you can correct me if I'm wrong, county surveyors review plats for subdivisions, partitions, condominiums, and those are long, sort of complex review of the maps and plats. They also review basic small surveys, but those survey reviews are simply to look and see if it's compliant with statute. Platt gets submitted to a separate county when it's your own company. He submits his Platt to Union County for review. For some reason, they are required to pay the neighboring county, and so he pays Union County. But then when Benchmark submits the plat to be indexed in Grant County, because that's where the property is, he pays it a second time, the filing fee. And then Benchmark recoups those fees. So he pays them twice and recoups them once. The problem here is that for the survey maps, which are not reviewed by Union County, he pays those fees to Grant County, but then he also recoups those fees from Grant County. So every other surveyor pays the fees and never gets the money back. Benchmark pays the fee and gets those $10 fees back. The 90 survey map reviews that were done, 52 of them were for Benchmark. We recommend in this case that the commission make preliminary findings of two violations of 244040 and one violation of 244120.
Do any commissioners have questions for staff on this issue? Okay. Would you like to make a statement?
Certainly. With regard to Mr. Springer billing as Benchmark surveying, Mr. Springer is an employee, or self-employed, but an employee on their books of Benchmark surveying. Benchmark surveying owns all the survey equipment. Tools, vehicles, everything else that he would use in terms of his Grant County survey work. This is a model that most counties in rural Oregon use, where they have a elected surveyor. Grant County cannot afford a full-time surveyor, nor can they afford the equipment, the vehicles, and other things that go into surveying for the limited amount of survey work that's done. If Mike Springer billed as Mike Springer, he would get the check and turn around and give it to Benchmark, and was previously concerned about how that would affect his tax implications personally. He has discussed that with his tax professional and determined that from this point forward, he can bill the county as Mike Springer, an individual, and proposes that he do that from this point forward. In addition, he does file a statement of economic interest annually. With regard to the invoicing that Benchmark has done, and I think that this will help in the future as well, in addition to his county surveyor work, a number was thrown out in terms of what Benchmark has billed the county over the past several years. Benchmark also does private work for the county as Benchmark Surveying, not just as the county surveyor. So they ask him to go out and do land partitions. They ask him to go out and survey roads and those kind of things, which he bills the county as Benchmark Surveying. And it's my impression, just looking at a quick review, that some of those billing statements have been commingled with some of his county surveyor work in terms of the investigation. And so we're probably going to ask that we have a review of that. With regard to a contract, I've seen the contract with Jefferson County. It's not a contract that I would recommend anyone enter. It's not a great contract. I'm not sure who produced it. I sat down. I can produce a contract for Mr. Springer. My question is, though, which elected official in the state of Oregon is asked to enter into a contract to do the work they're elected to do? It seems kind of a one-off in this situation. And what if an elected official said, no, I'm not going to enter into a contract? I've been elected to do the job, but what legality is there that requires them to enter into a contract? The county of Grant County has an ordinance. It indicates how things are done. Most of the statutes with regard to county surveyors say it will be done in accordance with county policy. And Grant County has policies for how they reimburse Mr. Springer for his work and is happy with how that goes. So in terms of a contract, I could probably come up with one, but I don't know of any other instance other than this Jefferson County model where an elected official is required to then enter into a contract to perform their services. With regard to the survey maps, so Mr. Springer is required, with regard to plat surveys, to have those reviewed by another surveyor. He has Union County do that. He pays their fee. He turns around when he files it in Grant County, and he pays their fee as well. So he's paying the fee twice. He does that primarily as a bookkeeping thing, so it shows a record that Benchmark Surveying or Mike Springer is actually paying the fee for his plats. He gets those back, and according to the investigative report, although that is somewhat confusing, there's no finding that that's improper. He also reviews survey maps, and according to the ordinance in Grant County, there's a fee that's paid when somebody submits a survey map for review, and according to the ordinance, the county surveyor gets a fee for when somebody submits a survey review and it's reviewed. One of the things that I don't see in the investigative report when it finds that he's paying the fee but recouping it is that he's not doing the work that's required to review a survey map, post it online, do those kind of things with his surveys. So when he submits a survey as Benchmark Surveying, suppose there's ABC survey. When they submit a survey, they pay the fee. The county surveyor reviews their survey map, puts it online, does some other things for the county with regard to that, and then the county surveyor gets part of that or some of that or all of that fee that ABC's paid. What we're not seeing is in the investigation is that Benchmark Survey submits this survey for review. And the county surveyor has to still do some things with that as the county surveyor and is entitled to the fee that the ordinance provides when they do that work. So what the investigative report seems to indicate is that Mr. Springer, Benchmark, submits a survey and then recoups the fee with no additional effort, that he's simply paying money in and getting money back without doing anything to earn the fee, and that's simply not the case. So with regard to the investigative report, I think some of the concerns we can clear up pretty quickly in terms of Mike Springer billing as Mike Springer. Otherwise, I think there needs to be additional investigation with regard to the other things in terms of seeing if Benchmark private work is being commingled with Benchmark work through Mike Springer as the county surveyor, and that Mr. Springer is entitled to the fees by the ordinance with regard to survey maps. So that's the statement for Mr. Garner.
Thank you very much. Commissioner O'Day.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for being here. Really appreciate it, particularly in your role as County Council. I've got I look at this issue, look at this case a little bit through some contracting lenses, so I want to just explore an issue with you real quickly. If an elected official opts not to do the work themselves and be in their official capacity and opt to be paid a salary or reimbursement and instead is going to do it under a contract, wouldn't that contract be subject to competitive bidding? And was this contract subject to competitive bidding?
There is no contract. Mr. Springer does not have a contract with the county. He's the elected county surveyor, and a contract doesn't exist between the two of them.
So as between, but the county's paying his business, right?
Yes.
So as between the county and that business, how would you describe that legal relationship?
There's two relationships. First, there's Mike Springer as the county surveyor, who's going out and doing the work. When he asks for reimbursement, he asks for the reimbursement to go to Benchmark Surveying. That's his employer. So that they're the ones recouped for the work that he's done as their employee. And we can correct that by having him bill separately. Then the second relationship is that the county often asks Benchmark Surveying. We live in a small area, and so the number of surveyors that you get to choose from is limited. And so when they have work that they need done, the county then would hire him for lot line adjustments or road work or those kind of things. So there's two relationships. With regard to the work that they have him do privately, I do think that they go through the process of determining who's going to do the work for them. But again, their choices are pretty limited.
Sure, I've been to Grant County many, many times. I can appreciate that. And you know, I think Oregon public contracting law certainly allows for accommodation where there's a limited number of potential service providers. But we're not here to decide that. I'm just trying to understand, again, the legal relationship that exists. You know, in what capacity is Mr. Springer performing this work? Is he doing so as an elected official, or is he doing so as a contractor? And I don't see that you can. I think it's in either or situation. In which case, you know, if not as an employee of the county, as a public official in the performance of his official duties, receiving a salary and reimbursement, then it strikes me this is even if there's not a contract to memorialize it, this is an arm's length transaction. That is a contract for services for which somebody other than Mr. Springer should probably make that decision. And I throw that out there so you can respond tell me
So Mr. Springer, in his capacity as the county surveyor, he goes out and he monuments lost corners. He reviews plat maps. He reviews survey maps. Those are things that he reviews the plat maps of other surveyors, and he reviews all survey maps. Those are his responsibilities as a county surveyor. Every county surveyor that's elected or by statute performs those functions. Then he has a private business where he doesn't do those things. He goes out and he does other private survey work. Are you suggesting that he can't do both?
No, I'm suggesting with that first category of work that he should be doing so as a public employee paid for by the county with a salary and subject to reimbursement rather than having a county cut a check to his private business.
And I'm not certain that I disagree with that, but that wouldn't be on Mr. Springer. That's something that the county should be
Agreed, which is why I'm glad you're here.
Okay.
And I think that the fact that it's a contractual relationship rather than an employment-based relationship, the transfer of money is what creates the problem here, because you have the county making payments to a contractor, of which Mr. Springer is the sole decider, it appears, as to who's going to make that, you know, who's going to get that contract. That's where the conflict of interest sits for me. And I think it's either or. It's either Mr. Springer's an employee of the county, he paid a salary and subject to reimbursement, or it's a contract for which somebody else in the county is going to decide who gets that contract, of which Mr. Springer then can oversee that. That's how I see the situation.
So how do you
reconcile that with the county surveyor is an elected position.
Well, I think there are a lot of elected officials that perform work for a county who get paid, such as your district attorney. And they get paid.
Which I am also.
Yeah. You get paid a salary to do, right? You're not, you don't have a private law firm of which the county is paying you a check.
Correct. But I'm asking you, how do you reconcile? For our county, we cannot, I mean, the county, I think, could pay Mr. Springer a salary. They can't pay him a salary where he can not work otherwise. The county cannot afford a full-time surveyor.
Sure.
So Mr. Springer would still have to work for Benchmark. And I understand what you're saying, but in terms of the county opening it for bids on a contract, how do they do that when Mr. Springer is the elected county surveyor?
Could I follow up on that, Mr. Sosa?
Commissioner Sosa, then Commissioner Keene. Unless you'd like to yield? Okay. Commissioner Keene.
I just wanted to follow up on this, and I appreciate Commissioner O'Day. This is what I was going to talk about. I thought we talked about this previously, about how this was a raised some contractual issues. I think the answer, and I appreciate Commissioner O'Day setting it out so clearly, is that an elected official either receives a salary for services performed, and I believe that the subject to reimbursement that you're talking about is just for expenses, for payment of fees for filing a plat, for example, but otherwise receives a salary for set activities, and it can be a part-time job, leaving the surveyor open to have private jobs, but that either the jobs are performed, set forth for a specified salary, or if they're going to be done for by private firms, including the surveyor's own private firm, they would be publicly bid so that the county can make sure that they get the lowest price. And if the lowest bid is by the surveyor himself in his private capacity, someone else would have to make that decision. Otherwise, you're going to follow the conflict of interest rules because somebody can't be left to select their own firm to do a contract. This way, you have an elected official who basically gets no salary but yet does all of the work for an uncapped amount. And there's no controls used, such as the public bid process, to make sure that the lowest price is being bid. Now, from what I understand, this is the practice in a lot of small rural towns for surveyors. And it may just indicate old ways of doing things that maybe are now run afoul of the Ethics Act. I don't believe that Mr. Springer has any ill intent and is doing, he's doing what he was hired to do and what he was elected to do. And it is the county's issue by not creating a salary for this position for certain specified jobs and then making it clear that other jobs will be bid out and that the county surveyor in his private capacity could bid for it, but then somebody else has to decide which contract is selected. But the way the county has it set up now puts the surveyor in the position of always having a conflict of interest and violating the ethics rules.
I would disagree with that in some part. I don't disagree that the county could pay him a salary, and I don't disagree that maybe they should. That's an issue that maybe the county should be here for rather than Mr. Springer. With regard to his private work, for example, recently the county sold the property. They partitioned it into several pieces. They hired Benchmark Surveying to do the partition. Mr. Springer didn't choose to do that work. The county, through their process, hired Benchmark Surveying to do it. So
the public bid process.
He doesn't, for the private work he does, he doesn't choose that he's the one who gets to do that. The county goes through their process to hire a surveyor to do that.
Which is a public bid process.
Right.
Right. Which is required for any reimbursement for using county funds, unless it's via a salary. Here we have such a mixture because you get zero salary and yet you're expected to do work, but there's no limit on what the work is costing, except for what it built.
Right, but where I guess I'm misunderstanding or being confused is he does his corner work, he does his plat reviews, he does his survey map reviews, he bills that through the reimbursement process.
See, that should be by salary. Otherwise, what if he bills, not that he would, but what if he were to bill twice as much as what the average surveyor would bill for that?
And I understand that. I'm okay with that.
You're okay with limiting that by salary, or you're okay with
I'm okay with going back to the county and saying, you need to change your policy and pay Mr. Springer a salary.
And so for the other things that he does outside of those set things, those should be, if they're going to be done and paid for by an unspecified amount outside of a salary, they should be bid for.
And that's how that process works. If Mr. Springer's going to do private work for the county, he goes through the county's process to be hired. And he doesn't submit reimbursements for those. He submits a bill that says, I've done this work for the county that you hired me to do outside of my capacity as a county surveyor.
And those were selected by a public bid process and not by the surveyor.
Well, that's I'm not going to tell you that my county goes through that process.
Well, that's where you set a contractor up for a violation of the Ethics Act. So I think that in this case, if surveyors are continued to be found liable for conflicts of interest that the county sets them up for all throughout the state, pretty soon surveyors are going to say, I would rather take a salary rather than be violating the Ethics Act every single time.
And I get that, but we're here for Mr. Springer, and he's following county policies.
I understand that county policies put him in the position of violating the Ethics Act. So,
Can I ask something here? I think you're talking maybe about two different things. Mr. Carpenter's talking about work that the county could hire any surveyor to do, whether it's a land partition or subdivision, something like that, on property that the county owns.
Yes.
And then I think a little bit of confusion is coming in that I also do work with the corner restoration stuff, which I think Susan's kind of familiar with, but that is where I get reimbursed as the county surveyor as part of my duties. And is that where the difference is? It's my duties as county surveyor,
yes,
not
if you're getting reimbursed for your duties as county surveyor for an unspecified amount, except based on whatever you bill privately, and that hasn't been let out by a public contract with low bid requirements, then that puts you in the position of having violated the Ethics Act.
Is that because there's no contract in place between myself and the county?
No, it's because if there were a contract, it would have had to have been let out publicly for low bid, and if your firm is selected, it would have had to be selected by someone other than you. This would just be solved by doing a contract.
But Mike Springer could do these things as county surveyor.
If Mike Springer as county surveyor were paid a set fee as part of his salary.
Well, my statutory obligations say that the county surveyor shall do that, and there's money in place to reimburse the county surveyor and so forth. So I don't see where it comes into play that I am obligated, or anybody's obligated, to step outside that and contract with somebody.
I agree. I think it should be by salary. If it should be reimbursed, it should be by a salary.
Okay, but the problem would arise, and from a practical standpoint, is that there's no way to anticipate. So say right now I get a retainer and I get another stipend for records and upkeep. So I get that annually, I bill it out quarterly, but anything that would do with corner restoration is the reimbursement that we're talking about. But there's no set amount that's foreseeable on that, and frankly what happens is they're kind of done. There's no project laid out ahead of time and that says we're going to do this, we're going to expend X amount of dollars and stuff like that. They're kind of done piecemeal to take advantage of the fact that somebody's out there They see a corner that is in need of repair, and so, you know, my statutory obligations are to maintain and repair those corners, and I do that in such a way that I take advantage of a situation where if I'm there, I see it, I do it right then, rather than, you know, going back to the office. I mean, it just seems, I'm not saying what you're saying is ridiculous, but it would be a huge expense to go back and then say, all right, we're going to have to let out a contract for this one corner. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's a prudent use of money to do that.
I think there's two ways. Government contracting is usually not the most, you know, efficient way to do things, because it's much easier to just pay somebody and pay who you know is good, but because it's government funds, you know, you have to get the lowest bid. Or, on the flip side, if the county can estimate over these 100 years how much they generally pay for the corner establishment and whatever else the surveyor does on a regular basis, and you sort of have a ballpark, that's how you set the salary. Just as your attorney's salary is set, some years probably a lot busier than other years, and if you were in private practice, you'd be billing different amounts every year, but that's government work. You get a salary, and sometimes you're busier
than others. There's years where there could be $15,000 difference in that. I mean, I couldn't with any kind of a conscience do that. And the problem with contracting is that, I mean, I can't sit here and throw somebody else under the table, but we have issues with surveyors. I mean, we are not all created equal, or we not all act equal or practice equal. And a low bid situation in that does the public no good at all. I mean, I don't understand.
I threw out low bid. There are actually, you know, the contracting statutes are specifically set out for architectural and survey that don't just require low bid. It takes into account years of experience, familiarity with a particular kind of work. So it's the safeguard built into all public contracts. And it's also the inefficiency, in a sense, built into the public contracting, but it encourages the lowest amount being bid. I can't say I'm an expert on surveying. All I'm saying is that we're kind of raising this because we see it as the only way to make sure that you don't keep having to be found in violation of ethics statutes.
So I'm willing to go back to the county and raise these issues with the county and see if we can't come up with something that doesn't keep him coming back.
Commissioner Sosa.
Yeah, so I think my colleagues have done an excellent job of sort of fleshing out the conflict of interest issues. I want to address the prohibited use of office. There were recommendations that there were two violations, one of which was that the reimbursements were going to Benchmark instead of to him individually. It sounds like that is being corrected now so that that problem will not reoccur, and those reimbursements will go to him instead of his company. But I did want to dive in a little bit to this issue of the reimbursement for the survey map reviews. I think if I understood you correctly, Mr. Carver, you said that if any other company other than Benchmark had submitted a map for review, that they would pay $10 for that, and that $10 would then go to Mr. Springer to compensate him for reviewing it, posting it, indexing it. Is that correct? And in this situation, when Benchmark did so, and Benchmark paid that $10, Benchmark got reimbursed simply because instead of the $10 going to him, it was going to his company. Do I understand that correctly?
Well, I think we need to break that into two parts, if I'm correct.
Okay.
And that is, one, it was going to Benchmark instead of to Mike Springer, the elected official, which we talked about is going to be corrected.
Right.
I think the second part is that it was thought that Benchmark is submitting a map for survey that Benchmark created, and so Benchmark is getting that $10 back. Where I think that the investigation hasn't gone far enough is that still has to be reviewed. It has to be put online, indexed, those kind of things. He's still earning the $10, even though Benchmark's the one who created the survey or reviewed the survey map.
Right. So going forward now, will it now be the practice that when Benchmark submits a map for review and pays the $10, that $10 upon Mr. Springer performing his duties as the county surveyor, indexing it, reviewing it, posting it, and all that, that $10 will now go to him?
Correct.
Individually? Okay. That's what I wanted to ensure, that for the prohibited use of office, that those situations have now been addressed in both aspects and are going to be not a recurring problem.
Correct.
Okay. Speaker list now is Commissioner O'Day. Legal counsel has put down her plaque, and Investigator Myers.
Ms. Alpha, I'll defer you if you...
No, I'm fine.
Okay. So, Mr. Carpenter, I would... springboarding off of Commissioner Keene's comments, as you have your conversation with the county court, Grant County has judges, right?
A county judge and two commissioners.
Okay. So as you have conversations with those folks, I would say take a good look at ORS 209-080, mm-hmm. which is the statute that refers to how the surveyor is to be compensated. I know we talked in terms of reimbursement, we talked in terms of salary, but really the issue here is compensation, and compensation to a public official through a means that otherwise doesn't, you know, bring up any sort of conflicts of interest. It seems to me that the commission, by default, has chosen not to compensate the surveyor. And there are certainly public officials, elected officials, that serve for free, provide services, and perform duties that, for which they receive no compensation. But I think this is the key. The key is the statute doesn't require that the surveyor be paid. I think that statement was made a little bit earlier. Instead, what the statute requires is that the county commission set the compensation, which could be zero, or it could be, you know, based upon an hourly amount, or however that is done. But that would be, in my view, the lawful mechanism for compensating the surveyor for the performance of his duties in a way that would not otherwise be a use of office violation. Because the use of office provision says any benefit you receive as a result of your public duties is a violation unless it meets one of the exceptions. And one of those is official compensation. But we don't have that now. I mean, I think that's the issue here, is that the county, it's not Mr. Springer's fault. I think he's out there trying to do a good job and do the right thing for the county. It is, as I think you suggested, a failure on the county to do the right thing by its elected official.
And I agree with that. Mr. Springer, I think, to his credit, is suggesting, man, if you pay me a salary, I don't think I'm going to earn it every year. What I'll talk to Mr. Springer about later is Mr. Springer's not always going to be the surveyor, and that there may be surveyors down the road who don't have his intestinal fortitude and veracity and may overbill and overcharge and those kind of things, and that this keeps everything above board. So we'll discuss that, but I will go talk to the county about and, you know, they pay him a stipend and a retainer now, and so it's not like they mean for him to act uncompensated. We just need to change the method in which that's done.
And again, we've been throwing around the word salary, I think, as a way of indicating an official employee-employment relationship, employer-employee relationship, but really comes down to compensation. However the county commission decides to do that, whether it be on an hourly basis, a stipend, you know, but that has to be the mechanism by which Mr. Springer is compensated versus the mechanism that is in place right now, which is essentially a contractual relationship with a billing for which there is no contract.
Okay. That raises a question for me. You say hourly. That still puts him in a position of saying, I built this many hours, or I built
this many hours. Well, he didn't say that. He said that's one way you could do it.
In the form of a timesheet versus an invoice.
Okay.
Investigator Myers.
I simply wanted to clarify the separate contracting. In the 4 years of invoices, we did look. It included invoices where he was seeking Benchmark was being reimbursed for the official duties. There were invoices where Benchmark was being reimbursed for doing plats for the county road department. Those items are included in the $127,000. We asked for any procurement records where the county had hired Benchmark. the county indicated that there were none. The amounts of the individual bills for benchmark working for county roads were less than $5,000 per year and appeared to fall under the bid threshold for any formal procurement process. So that explains why there is not actual contract with benchmark.
So I think the bottom line here is come up with a compensation schedule.
Can I ask one more question, too? I guess it would be of you, Susan, but you had stated that I did not disclose any conflict of interest, and I have diligently done my statement of economic impacts. And I just, I mean, I've done that every year. In fact, I've done it before I was county surveyor because I sat on a city council at one point, and I just, that kind of concerns me that those aren't of record or... Or maybe I'm misunderstanding what you're saying.
He absolutely had filed the Statement of Economic Interest. Benchmark is identified as a source of income on his SBI. The disclosure of conflict of interest here under ORS 244120, and I think this is a difficult position because most elected officials would have public meetings at which they could make those disclosures. In this case, as an elected official, he has to make the public disclosure. It's a little unclear when and where that would be made.
Mm-hmm.
But it arises as a result of the invoicing by benchmark or the award of the contract.
It's more of a technicality than I am.
Right, you have
missed a procedure or something that
correct.
I. Correct. Okay.
Commissioner King.
I just want to, not trying to belabor this, I do feel like you are completely. Ethical in your actions, and I think that you have been put in this position because of the oddness of the way this practice has been. So I just want to say that going forward, I would very much support, depending on how we vote today, a resolution that finds it just a letter of education and working through with the county as a next step if we do vote to approve the investigation today. I just wanted to say that.
Okay.
And I think in that, I think part of that letter, I'm sorry.
Sure, go ahead.
Part of that letter of education would be on these disclosures of conflicts of interest because we do have elected officials such as sheriffs, yourself, the governor herself, doesn't really go to meetings to fill those disclosures to the public, but we've given advice out there on how folks that don't go to meetings can publicly disclose those conflicts of interest. So in that letter of education, we would also give you some advice on how to do that in your job.
So that
there's, when the conflicts do arise, that you can meet that standard. So anyway.
Legal counsel.
First of all, I want to say thank you to Susan for this really complicated issue that she worked really hard on. But I agree with Commissioner O'Day on 209-080 on compensation, and that's the way to go. But you also have 209-230 that requires the county surveyor to procure at the expense of the county the materials and requisites. So that's clearly a procurement, and as I understand it, you're using your company because that's how small counties, that's how it works, that's what you have. I might recommend that you ask the Ethics Commission for some advice on how you can comply with this and the ethics law.
Ask this commission?
Yes,
okay.
This Ethics
through
Commission.
Through the staff.
Through the staff can provide advice as you go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's important that it be on the record here that at least three, and maybe I'm the third, commissioner believes that you have done nothing nefarious. It seems to me that you are... you have this entity, benchmark, as a convenience for yourself, a convenience for the city, and it just so happens that in this case that those mechanisms don't comply with ethics laws. But I think it's important to underscore that I don't believe anybody here thinks that you have done anything shifty or untoward. But with that, unless the commissioners have no other questions, I'll entertain a motion.
I move staff recommendation.
Let me just ask, because I'm not clear. I guess I don't totally support voting to hold him specifically with a violation. And I understand, and this thing seems so confusing that I guess as a commissioner, before we vote on this, even if it comes down to a letter of education, I mean, I think this has been an educational process for them. It sounds like the issues are with the county and how their structure is set up. I don't think I'm clearly I don't think anybody truly knows how he would disclose his conflict of interest mm-hmm. in this unique situation. So I'm not comfortable voting with this as a violation. I recognize there's some educational process, but I don't know that that needs to be us voting in violation that everybody's confused on.
Do you wish to divide the question or amend the motion somehow?
Well, there wasn't an official motion yet, from my understanding.
Yeah. Commissioner Keene made one, but it sounds like she's withdrawing.
Yeah, I'll withdraw because okay. I hadn't realized that Commissioner.
I guess I want to hear where some of the other commissioners are on, you know, are out with this. You know, whether you guys feel comfortable, you know, voting for a violation with this level of confusion.
I can't recall. Are we able to issue a letter of education without finding a violation?
We are. I don't disagree with you, Commissioner Mason, but my feelings is that without the violation, and I hate to use Mr. Springer as the example out there, but I don't believe, because it's been talked about here that maybe other counties doing a similar thing, that it will be fixed.
Hmm.
And I want other counties to learn from this. I mean, I'm a property owner in Grant County, so I appreciate your services there. And but that's really one of the recommendations. But we can do a lot of education in lieu of a violation. Yes, to answer your question.
One other possibility is to divide the question and consider the matter of 244-0401 and 244-12 sub 2 separately.
I mean, the use of office part, and as far as the conflicts go, I do believe, in my mind, I have several options that I could relay to Mr. Springer on how to declare his conflicts of interest. And because, like I say, we've given prior advice to sheriffs and different things like that, that don't have those meetings, but how to publicly announce their conflicts of interest. So I don't think it's going to be difficult for him to be able to do that, or prohibitive in his official duties, and keep him from keeping up his official duties to declare those conflicts of interest out there.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I was just going to say that I agree with you, Commissioner Mason, and I think that part of what makes me comfortable with that is knowing the reality that if this isn't addressed and it's not addressed quickly, they'll be back here. So mm-hmm. there'll be other opportunities if we needed to move forward with a violation, but I think if the issues are addressed and they're addressed in a timely manner, the purpose of education will have been served.
Thank you, Commissioner Edwards. I apologize for not noticing your plaque. We need some kind of motion.
I move that we issue a letter of education in lieu of finding a violation.
Okay, the motion is that a letter of education be issued in lieu of finding of violations. Without additional comment, we'll go to a roll call vote. Wait.
I'd like to
to the motion.
Yeah, I'd like to speak to the motion. Commissioner Sosa, I think I can get behind that on the condition that letter is copied to the Association of Oregon Counties, specifically Mr. Rob Bovet, so that he understands and can help educate the counties elsewhere, because I'm certainly sensitive to Mr. Burson's point that if this is a practice throughout county government in the state of Oregon, it is something that should be rectified so that we're not putting people through this process and taking up time. So I don't know if I can make an amendment to that motion, but I would say that such a letter should be shared with the Association of Oregon Counties.
Legal counsel.
Okay, just a procedural point that following the preliminary, never mind, we can do this. I was in the wrong thing.
Okay, very good. So we're back to the motion. Is there any additional discussion or debate on this motion?
Mm-hmm. Chair Burke, this is Mr. Fiskum in a remote location. All I wanted to do was concur with Commissioner O'Day's comments. With the addition that if the letter of education is insist that it also a copy also be made directly and specifically to Grant County.
Yes.
Not just and only AOC.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Fiskin, from the remote and, I guess, disclosed location. So, very good. Is there additional discussion on this motion? Yes.
Just as a point of clarification, we would be voting on an order to dismiss the complaint and issue the letter in lieu.
That's right. That's correct. So, is there any additional debate? Seeing none, we'll go to a roll call vote.
Commissioner Sosa.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Keene.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day.
Aye.
Chair Burke.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Thanks for scooping us up in your schedule here, too. I appreciate that.
Good luck straightening all that out. I'm sure that, I'm sure that you'll be able to do it.
Ms. Myers, for becoming educated in survey law.
Yep, the people in Grant County are good people. And so thank you very much for the trip, and have a safe trip home.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go into executive session now. Just so you know, unless you are part of the media or your particular case is being discussed, you have to leave this room during that time. I have to read the first person that we'll work with is the matter of Ms. Jennifer.
You need to read the statute.
I need to read the statute.
You read the script before people are dismissed.
Before they're dismissed. Okay, very good. This is an executive session to consider preliminary reviews pursuant to ORS 244-260 sub 4 sub D and ORS 192.685 sub 1 possible own motion preliminary reviews pursuant to ORS 244-260 sub 2 sub D and to conduct the annual executive director performance review pursuant to ORS 192.660 sub 2 sub I. And so at this point, we would ask folks to leave.